Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Thanks very much. Good afternoon on this Monday afternoon. It's not just any Monday, is it? Oh, yeah, there can be thundery showers and hail and hailstones the size of golf balls, but it won't dampen our spirits today. Oh, no. We can shop in Pennies and get our hair done, travel to different counties and hug our grandchildren, if you have a grandchild. So it's all good. It's all good. What are you up to? What are you doing now that you couldn't do yesterday? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Oh, our tech system's down, is it? I think it might be. It's not all good. It doesn't all work out in the end. Yeah. Podrick has been on. He got through to ray@rte.ie. I just booked my e-ticket online for this Saturday with a time slot for myself and my son at the National Archaeology Museum. I will also visit my local library, which is the newly decorated Coolock branch, and hopefully go for a swim in the public pool this Saturday morning. Happy days, says Podrick. We never thought this day had come, did we? It's been a long... And people are saying 5 months. I don't want to be a pedant or anything like that, but it's not exactly 5 months. It's 4.5, isn't it? But it's been a long 4.5 months. Yes, and it was dark and it was tough and we were all at the end of our tether. But now we can see hope. Tony Holland was very hopeful on the news at one. And this morning on Morning Ireland, it was just one of those days. Could you say that Morning Ireland is ever jubilant? Well, this morning, yes, it was jubilant. And our Neil has put together a lovely little montage of the morning that will be the envy of reeling in the ears. Here we go.
It's showtime as thousands of businesses across the country reopen for the first time since Christmas.
Galleries, museums, libraries and other cultural attractions will also reopen.
Travel will now be permitted between all counties.
It's great to be back, says the headline in the Mirror. Top jab, says the Sun.
Grandparents can hug their children and grandchildren again for the first time in 14 months. We can perhaps begin to hope that things are getting better.
Thanks, Audrey. Thank you very much. Yay! Can you overdo it on a day like today? 250,000 people got online last week to arrange an appointment to go and shop in Pennies. I kid you not. 250,000 from a population of 4.8 million. So if you take all the kids out of that and all the people who aren't interested in Pennies, a good whack of people, a good percentage of people who wanted to be in Pennies are going to be this week. And one of them is Amy O'Connor. How are you doing, Amy?
Hi, Ray. How are you getting on?
Good. What time were you up this morning, Amy O'Connor?
Look, I got up at 7:30. I was in O'Connell Street at 9 o'clock, queuing up bright and early outside.
Right. But you had an appointment made, so why'd you have to queue?
Well, because they were clearing out the store from the 8 a.m. cohort, so they had to. So when you rocked up, I was there about 5 or 10 minutes before my shopping slot, and the queue was sort of snaking around the corner. And you know, at first I was kind of like, well, "Why should I book an appointment if I have to queue up?" But in fairness, that actually moved really, really quickly afterwards. So, yeah.
I love the fact that you referred to the first group as the 8 o'clock cohort.
I know this is vaccination talk.
Yeah, I know. Yes. We've developed a whole way of talking, a whole new way of talking, haven't we, over the last 14 months? So I believe while you were online trying to get an appointment with Pennies, your parents were online trying to get appointment for a vaccination.
Exactly. Tale of two Ireland. My parents registering for the vaccine last week and me making sure I could get into Pennies to get me a few bits.
Okay. Now was this as you're in your role as a journalist or in your role as a human being? If you know what
no.
I mean.
A bit of both. It was very much, well, a bit of both, but no, very much in my role as a 28-year-old woman, I think.
Right, okay. Yeah. Right, okay. I can hear you're still giddy after it.
I swear to God, I was buzzing after it. Like, I went home to my boyfriend after and he was like, you're in a fantastic mood. It was just being out, doing something normal, being with people. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did it work then? So are you given a time slot? Is it exactly an hour or what? Is it 45 minutes or what?
Yeah, but you kind of have about 45 minutes to do your shopping. And then at about that point, an announcement went out over the speakers, kind of, you know, saying you've got 15 minutes to wrap things up, folks. You know, kind of like the end of the night in a pub, you know. Come on, folks, clear out. basically, it was really well managed. Like, you rocked in, someone checked your confirmation email, cross-referenced it with their things, and then, yeah, like, you had your 45 minutes just to wander around. I'm not sure how many people were in there, like, maybe 100 people, maybe, okay, over kind of three floors in O'Connell Street. So you have a lot of space to wander around,
yes,
you know.
Yeah.
There wasn't any point where I felt like my space was being encroached on or anything like that. And I think everyone was very considerate and respectful of each other as well.
And did you feel, because there was a time put on it, that you were under pressure?
Well, there was definitely a bit of a supermarket sweep kind
was
of
there, yes,
vibe. You're kind of throwing things into the basket, and then, like, I threw a lot of things into the basket early on, and then when I was actually paying for it, cashier was pulling stuff out of it, and I was like, I don't remember putting those crunchies into my basket. When did I put that in? But yeah, there was a bit of, like, don't think, just do it.
Okay.
I think, you know, judging by everyone else's baskets, I think everyone else is in the same kind of frame of mind.
And in your role as a journalist, you're obviously observing other people. What did you notice?
Well, funny enough, one of the things I liked was a lot of people were FaceTiming their friends and relatives and stuff, kind of showing what was available in the shop to them and stuff.
Yeah.
The other funny thing was, I would say it was like 99% women in there. The men's section was absolutely, like, desolate. It was pretty untouched, whereas all the women were, like, you know, at the underwear, pajama section and all that kind of thing. But mostly I just thought there was a real kind of sense of giddiness and excitement in the air. It was really, really palpable, even when you're standing outside. Like, there was an older lady standing behind me, and she was like, I probably don't even really need anything, but it's just a novelty.
That's what I was about to say, actually. There was more to it than just shopping in pennies, wasn't there? Was more significance to it than that?
I think so. I think it was just the first time, you know, you've gotten to do something half normal again.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, like you said, like that woman said, I probably didn't even need a whole lot in pennies for kind of very basic stuff like socks and tights and things like that. But it was just getting to go out. And it's still not business as usual. You're obviously wearing your mask. There's an element of planning involved. It's not like we were all just popping into pennies. Like, we had queued up online to get our appointments last
week.
But it was just that idea of just being out with people and just doing something really normal that felt like, you know, something I would have been doing last February, say.
Yeah. Can you tell us what you bought?
Oh, what didn't I buy? I think would be easier. I spent €130, which was, you know, this is the curse of pennies. You go in and you say, I'm only going to get a few bits. And then all of a sudden you've spent over €100.
But you get a lot in pennies for €130, fairness, Amy.
Yeah, I got two pairs of jeans, I got a pair of runners, a lot of socks, a lot of tights, rings, scrunchies, face masks, you know, other beauty bits. Like, the list goes on.
Yeah. What are their face masks like?
By face masks, I actually mean the...
Oh, the cosmetic
face
type.
Masks. Yes. Exactly. Yes, glamorous.
Yeah, not
the glamorous face masks.
Not the medical ones, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So then you're out, and it's obvious to everybody in the world where you've been, because you have your pennies bag.
Because, yeah, I have an enormous double pennies bag because obviously I had so much stuff that they needed reinforcement. So they gave, like, it was a bag inside a bag, if you like. But, yeah, I went up to Spar on Tallier Street straight afterwards, and the girl that was serving me noticed my pennies bag. And she was like, oh, my God, you went to pennies. How was it? How do you feel? And then she called over one of her colleagues from the deli counter, and they were both like, tell us everything. We're so happy for you. It was just lovely. Like, just even those kind of interactions, like, yeah. I was buzzing after it.
Yeah, isn't that lovely?
And it's so nice.
Yeah, and it's all about, you know, basically human contact, isn't it? And interaction and sharing with people those experiences. They were so jealous of you, Amy O'Connor. So jealous.
Exactly. I mean, they were looking for all the lowdown, you know, like what kind of stuff was in, and it was really funny. But like you said, it was just that kind of human contact and kind of gas interactions that I think we've been kind of starved of over the last couple of months.
I believe it's pastel shades and gingham. Is it?
Big time. A lot of people know that film Clueless. A lot of kind of outfits, I'd say, inspired by Clueless, like 90s style kind of two-piece blazer skirt kind of combos.
Right.
that kind of thing. Yeah, a lot of tie-dye as well.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Which you can do at home, but you probably, it probably cost you five times as much to do it at home than buy it in pennies. Yeah.
This is it, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, and it continues now. It continues all this week by appointment, isn't it? And then this day next week, then it's open to everybody.
That's it, exactly. Yeah, and I think, I do think if anyone is sort of feeling cautious or cagey about, you know, the idea of going into the shop when they properly reopen next week, I would say that this appointment shopping is kind of a nice way of dipping your toe back in, kind of softly. Like, it was very well managed and under control in that.
I was trying to think why they introduced that. It's maybe to take the edge off demand, is it? Because if they just opened up, there would just be a, you know, a stampede of people into it. Yeah,
I would think so. I think that was kind of what happened the last two lockdowns. Uh-huh. I think you had queues kind of all around. I remember queuing up outside Mary Street for, I don't know, 45 minutes or an hour, and I just had to leave the queue because it just wasn't moving very quickly. Yeah, so I think, like you said, it was to kind of quell that kind of demand.
So if those 250,000 people, it's a fascinating number of 250,000 people who went on and got appointments. If they all go along this week to all the pennies around the country and they satisfy their itch, they scratch their pennies itch, well, then there won't be a sort of stampede next Monday morning.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, have you done the fashion show yet? Have you tried everything on, everything fits and all that?
I haven't yet. This is what I'm looking forward to when I get home. I just kind of dumped the stuff at home and went back out again. But looking forward to trying on all the jeans and all the rings and all that. Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing your experience with us, Amy O'Connor. Thank you.
No worries.
See you. Bye. That's Amy O'Connor is in pennies today. Other things that we noticed today, this is Jen Mehigan. Now, the reason I want to bring this to your attention is because it was Jenny's birthday last week and I had to go out and buy a card for her from the children, you see. So I was looking at the mummies and the mums and the blah, 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 blah. And Jen Mehigan from Cork on Twitter says, not one happy birthday mam card to be found in Tóher. They're all happy birthday mum. And nobody's called mum in Tóher. They're all mams. I thought this had been sorted because I thought this was a problem that was ongoing because a lot of people in Ireland called their mothers mammies. They called them mam instead of mum and there weren't cards available. But I thought somebody had sorted that out, but obviously not down in Tóher. So if you can direct Jen towards a mam birthday card, we'd appreciate that. It's Eurovision time again. Next Tuesday is the first semi-final and Leslie Roy will be flying the flag for Ireland singing her song Maps. And the sort of the mood music around it is positive and people are saying that Leslie's going to make it out of the first semi-final and into the final, which will be on the Saturday night, which is great because it gives us something to watch then on the Saturday night with the children and the popcorn and all that. So that'll be good. But the current favourite to win is France and they've done one of those things. Remember they did a few years ago with an octopus in the World Cup. Well, there's a parrot called Pikachu. And they put all, is it 32 balls or whatever number of entries there are for the Eurovision? And Pikachu picked out the French ball. But the mood music around the French entry is hugely positive. And the people in the know, the big fans who've been following the Eurovision for years say this is the one. Now, France haven't won since 1977. And because they're part of the Big Five, I think there's bad blood there. People say, you're not even trying. Because they go straight into the final because they pay a big chunk of the bill for putting on the Eurovision. But anyway, it's a real French song, quintessentially French song. The performer is Barbara Pravi. She's a beautiful looking woman. She has movie star good looks and it could be the one. It could be the one that'll win for France first time in what? 44 years? Quintessentially French. Voila. And they're saying that's the one that's going to win the Eurovision this year. Next Tuesday, as I say, Leslie Roy will be representing Ireland in the first semi-final and we hope to speak to Leslie on the day if we're in luck. Now, having the best day ever, got my hair done this morning and get my vaccine tomorrow. Can't believe how happy I am, says Linda. And Patricia says, got my hair done this morning. It's a great feel-good factor. Hair done, I feel 20 years younger, says Una. And Gary says, get my hair cut this evening. May even treat myself to a takeaway pint. All that's left to do is hug me, ma'am, once we are fully vaccinated. I've scratched me itch today, Ray, in Penny's Ballina Mayo. From happy mum of three teenage boys. And of course, the other thing is, you know, as they all mentioned there, that they're getting the hair done. And our Sinead Quinlan is down in Cork. Hello, Sinead.
Hey, Ray, how are you?
Good to talk to you. Big day for you and your roots.
A big day, Ray. I can't believe it. Like, I actually can't describe it words how good it is to be back. But I hear words are fairly useful on the radio, like, so
they are,
I better come up with a few.
You better. So where are you now as you speak to us?
So I'm in Harper's Hair Design. It's in Mayfield in Cork.
Right. Is this your regular hairdresser?
Yeah, well, actually, my hairdresser is called Janice McCarthy, so she's been doing my hair since I was 15, and I basically just follow her around wherever she goes.
Right, okay.
So she's been in a lot of places, but she's brilliant.
So she's done all the big ones. Did she do your hair for your Debs?
Everything, 18th, 21st,
right.
Debs.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents be hoping I get married at some stage, like, sure, we'll see. But the first time, actually, I met her, I was 15, and I accidentally dyed my hair purple.
Right.
So I thought burgundy was actually a shade of brown, but it wasn't.
You see,
so that was the first time I met her.
Right. And she's been feeling sorry for you ever since.
Yeah, I'm blonde now though, Reg. No, I'm being blonde, like, it's not just a hair colour, like, it's actually a lifestyle choice.
So tell us, describe your hair. Are you in the process of doing it, or have you got it done, or what? Where are you?
I'm in the process,
right.
So we've discussed it, we've talked about it, we've looked at it, we've been a bit embarrassed about the state of it, but we'll move on from that.
Right.
So what I'm getting done today is a full head of baby lights, so they're like highlights but smaller,
okay.
And getting it cut then as well. So right. I might actually go a bit mad and get bangs cut.
Right, what's that now?
So it's like a long fringe.
Right.
Like, not a proper fringe now, like, but like a side fringe, kind of.
Okay, and what was it like this morning when you woke up and looked in the mirror?
Well, I actually didn't even look at it. I just put a hat straight on. I couldn't be looking anymore. My roots were so bad, like, I could have actually set up a Facebook page for him.
I was trying to think, and you're young enough, but I was trying to think about, you know, women of a certain age who have grey hair. And, I think your hair grows an inch a month. Would that be right? And I'm trying to think, if you didn't have your hair done for 14 months, would the whole colour have grown out of it? And I wonder, are women of a certain age deciding, I'm just going to stick with the grey now? What do you think?
I know. Yeah. I had a neighbour before, and she was wearing this hat for months. Like, this was way before the pandemic.
Yeah.
We were saying, what is she wearing the same hat for? Like, do you know what I mean? She washed it or anything. But anyway, one of the Christmases we saw her, she got it all cut up and she was completely grey.
Yeah.
So she had been growing it out the whole time.
I think it can look very attractive.
Yeah. If you can, like, some people can pull it off if it's a nice grey.
Yeah, it doesn't concern you for a good while, yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
hopefully. Unless I get a shocker or something.
I have a couple of clips here from you. Will you introduce them to me?
Yeah, will do. So I think Janice herself, my hairdresser, said a few words. They were all kind of shy now, Ray.
Were they? Yeah, well, let's hear what Janice has to say. Janice!
Hi, Ray. Janice McCarthy here from Harper's Hair Design in Mayfield. Great to be back today. I actually have Sinead with me here today in the salon. It's such a bonus to be back. The loyalty from my clients, I've seen everybody with 4-inch roots, is really overwhelming, and we're delighted to get my hands on their head.
Delighted to get my hands on their heads. That's Janice from Harper's Hair Design. Borbui. Is it Borbui or Borbui Road?
Borbui Road.
Borbui Road, yes. And you also got to talk to Orla, who was sitting beside you. Here's Orla.
Hi, my name's Orla Casey. I'm in Harper's Hair Salon here in Mayfield. And first day back after being in captivity for so many weeks. Delighted to be back, just having my hair done, colour and highlights here with Jan. So looking forward to being normal, looking normal again.
Yeah, it's so important to people, isn't it?
It actually is. Like, you're for your self-esteem and stuff. Like, you feel like $1 million when it's done.
Yeah.
But people are buzzing, like, great atmosphere.
When will you be finished?
See, this is it now. Like, I could be in here for the next 3 hours.
All right.
You know, like, it takes a long time.
It's so easy being a man.
kids.
I know, Sheree, you haven't really had to worry about hair in a long time.
And I'm delighted. I don't even blush anymore. Or anything. I think it's a plus. It's an advantage of being a man with a bald head.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, I tell you, we might come back to you just before we leave at 4:30, see how you're getting on.
Perfect.
And if there's anybody else there who feels like they might drop us an owl, WhatsApp, voice note, whatever they call them, encourage them to do so, won't you?
Yeah, no worries. Okay. I can be very convincing when I want to be.
Right. Okay, Sinead, mind yourself for the moment. See you. Bye. That's Sinead Quinlan there, down there in Harper's Hair Design, Borbury Road in Mayfield in County Cork. Will we go to a song? We have time for a song, yeah. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Katie says, went to Penny's Mary Street at 7 o'clock this morning. Oh, you were part of the 7 o'clock cohort and found it such a great experience. It was very safe and I spent just under €400. Bought more than just socks, I swear. Well, you cleared them out of socks if you spend €400 on socks, Katie. 5151 RadRT.ie. Good afternoon. Yeah. Harry Styles, Watermelon Sugar. I thought that's a song that would suit today. Don't know why. It's sort of summery and sort of there's no pressure on it. It's sort of nice and airy. 51551 RadRT.ie. Yep, it takes 18 months to grow it out fully. So that's 18 months. That'd be 18 inches of hair. To grow the colour out of it. Anne says, if you're looking for a birthday card for your wife with mam on it, why don't you get your children to make one or yourself? Homemade cards are always far more special. My children and grandchildren always make all the cards. I keep them as they're so special, says Anne. Well, we do a bit of that as well. But Jen down in Tore was looking for a shop card with mam on it. Nobody has found one yet so far. Now, our quiz of today. Today being the 10th of May. And this will feature, this day will feature on Reeling in the Years and Years to Come. It will. We're looking for two people to answer questions on events that happened on this day over the years and maybe win a prize. And this week our prize comes from the Castleknock Hotel. Two-night break with dinner on one evening at the award-winning Dublin Hotel. In 2021, let's embrace the missed moments with an escape to the four-star Castleknock Hotel, where you can choose from two dedicated packages designed for celebrating those birthdays, anniversaries and date nights that you might have missed in 2020. Balloons, bubbles and cake are all part of the two new experiences at the award-winning hotel, perfect for family, friends and loved ones who missed out on special occasions last year. CastleknockHotel.com for more. So, looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and answer five questions each and maybe win that prize. You have to answer our qualifying question first, which is this. In which Irish county would you find the town of Carrickmacross? In which Irish county would you find the town of Carrickmacross? 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. Good luck with that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, and if you'd like to share with us what you're up to today, first day of freedom for a lot of people, inter-county travel, hairdressers, retail by appointment, all sorts of other things are going on. If you'd want to share it with us on a voice note, our WhatsApp number is 087 187 9101. That's 087 187 9101 for your WhatsApp voice notes. And we'd love to hear from you and spread a bit of joy around the country on this Monday afternoon. Now, yesterday evening, I was sitting at home watching the 6-1 News. There was a lovely report from Sinead Hussey, our northeastern correspondent, about the easing of restrictions. And she spoke to Frank Nelson from Navan. And I said, there's a man I'd love to talk to. So we put the call in and Frank's on the line now. How are you doing, Frank?
Oh, great, Ray. Great. I'm delighted to be on the line with you, Ray.
Thanks for taking the call.
Not at all.
So, was the phone hopping after the news yesterday?
Oh, unbelievable. I have six children and they all hooked their phones on my own phone here as well. Now, I haven't got a smartphone, I've only an ordinary phone, but I text messages coming in that I wasn't able to cope with the whole lot, you know, but... thank God anyway that it went well for me, you know, it was Sinead, you know.
It was lovely. And you sang. And remind us then, so you've six children.
I have six children, five boys and one girl, yeah.
Right, and how many grandchildren have you got?
15 grandchildren and three great-grandchildren, and we've had two more great-grandchildren on the way,
Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah.
Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah.
And have you seen any of them today so far?
No, I haven't seen any of them today. No, I've seen one of my own children today, my third eldest, Alan, you know.
Right.
I haven't got to see any of them. No, I have a routine, Ray, that I keep I do every day, you know what I mean? Now, when I finish with you now, what I'll be doing now is I'll be going over to the cemetery. My wife is over there for the last 4 years, and I miss her big time, you know, because we were childhood sweethearts, and I met her when she was 16 and a half. I was 19, and we never knew anybody else. So we were married we were going out with one another for about 4.5 years. We got married in 1960, the 1st of August, 1960. And she was with me for almost 57 years after that then, you know.
And then add the 4 years that you were courting before that.
That's what I'm saying, 61 and a half years.
61 and a half years you were together.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
My word.
And we had a wonderful life for her now, I have to say. If I travelled Ireland, I couldn't get anybody as nice or as good as her, you know. Because
yeah.
I have my photographs all around my kitchen here where I'm speaking to you now, you know.
Yeah, Imelda.
Imelda, I sing to her here every Saturday morning, you know.
What songs do you sing to her?
I made a CD called The Wonder of You, and I sing The Wonder of You, and I sing Grace, and I sing Green Green Grass of Home,
right,
and Spanish Eyes, and My Way, and a whole lot. I made an awful mistake when I brought home the master CD to let her hear it. What was the second, after singing The Wonder of You, Ray, what was the second song I sang? Please release me, let me go. she nearly killed me.
Are you trying to drop me a hint, Frank? I've been with you over 50 years now, and you're singing, please release me, let me go. Come on.
She nearly killed me. No. It was her favourite song, one of her favourite songs.
Yeah.
Engelbert Humperdinck, you know.
Yeah. Tell me what you miss most during the lockdown, Frank.
Well, I missed, of course, I missed my own family, for starters, you know, because when they would come, we say they came with my dinner on a Sunday. I was able to get my own dinner during the week, Ray, you know, but when they came with my dinner on a Sunday, they would have to leave it at the front door and ring the doorbell and then go back to the gate and stand at the gate and say, Dad, how are you? And I'd say, I'm fine, I'm great, you know, but I missed all that because... I have a lovely family, Ray.
Yeah.
And they look after me unbelievably.
And Frank, they had to be particularly careful with you because, you have a medical history.
Oh,
I'm just looking at it here.
A medical history, you know, the best of banner, you know what I mean?
Go on.
I got a heart attack when I was only 50, you know.
Right.
And then I had the triple bypass surgery. And then I was blind for 16 or 17 years. Thought everything was... And then all hell broke loose then, Ray. I had hip replacements. I got prostate cancer.
Jenny,
I got the esophageal polyps on the esophagus.
Yeah.
I had a stomach operation where I got some of my stomach removed. But look, Ray, I'm talking to you now, it's brilliant that I'm able to talk about it.
And you looked, looking at you on the news, you look like a very healthy, young 85-year-old man.
I think what stood to me, Ray, was the fact that I never drank or never smoked.
Aha,
you know.
There you go.
And that's what really stood to me. Now, you wouldn't think that would me getting a heart attack at 50, you know.
But you're an advert for abstinence. You're an advert for abstinence.
Everyone says that, you know.
What's going to be the first hug? What's going to be the first hug? Who's going to be the first hug with Frank?
Well, the first hug will be probably, what I see now. I had a chap in this morning, my third eldest son.
Yeah.
But we didn't hug because he's very, very careful still, you know.
Okay.
Even though I was vaccinated twice, he wasn't vaccinated at all. Yes, he's only 56, you know.
Yeah.
So he's coming up now in line now shortly, you know. But he came in and had a cup of tea with me, and we stayed our distance apart, and then he went out the door then again. And I won't see anyone now, Ray, until maybe near the weekend again now. Maybe some of them might drop in some night and sit with me for a half an hour or so, you know what I mean?
Which would be great.
Which would be great.
Well, listen, you're a wonderful man. Would you give us 20 seconds of The Wonder of You in memory of Imelda?
You want to sing... I was going to sing a song that wasn't on the CD
Take your time.
Love is a many splendor thing, you know.
Whatever suits you. Whatever you feel most comfortable with, Frank.
Yeah, because I don't want to put on. I have a backing track of my CD music, and I don't want to put it on in case it's in the field with you.
Just go a cappella. Just go a cappella for today. Give us 20 seconds of that. Yeah.
Right.
Great.
Love is a Love is nature's way of giving a reason to be living. The golden crown that made a man a king. Once on a high and windy hill, in the morning mist, two lovers kissed, and the world stood still. Then your fingers touched my silent heart and taught it how to sing. Yes, true love's a many splendor thing.
Yay! Frank Nelson, live from Navan. Live from Navan. That's brilliant. Frank is a true Navan man, a gent. And thank you,
and you're a gent too.
Listen, I tell you what, you might come down sometime when you're, you know, when you feel comfortable about doing so, because I know you're writing a memoir and you have a great story to tell, and we'd love to.
Yes, I have a brilliant story to tell, and you know, I wasn't anybody famous, Ray, by no means. I'm just an ordinary Joe Soap, but I had some lovely stories to
tell.
Okay,
well, you might join us at some stage in the future
studio. Some stage,
okay.
I will. Yeah. Yeah.
And listen,
yeah.
And mind
yeah.
yourself, Frank. Great talking to you.
And thank you very much, Ray. God bless you.
You too. Bye now. Bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The penalty for you.
Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That man is incredible, says Eileen and Guidor. Bravo, bravo, bravo. And Rebecca says, really looking forward to browsing my local library later today. Of course, libraries are open. And I grew my colour out in the first lockdown, totally grey now, liberating, says somebody, an anonymous somebody. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we spotted a video online of the most heartwarming reunion between Grace Fanning and her daughter, Fia. Grace had just returned from an away patrol on the Irish Navy ship, the L.E. Roisin, that she's the captain of, and she has since been back to sea, but joins us now from dry land, Lieutenant Commander Grace Fanning. Good afternoon. Grace, how are you?
Hey, how are you going? Getting on? I'm not sure how I'm going to follow Frank, but I'll do my best.
Can you sing?
I can't, and I just asked your producer they're not that.
Right, okay.
Listen, I'm doing out sea shanty for you, maybe.
Well, yeah, there you go. They were all the go this year, weren't they? Sea shanty.
They surely are.
Yeah. Thanks so much for taking our call. And you've posted another video there of little Fia. She's the cutest little thing. What age is she?
Oh, she's 2.5. Well, yeah. She'll be 3 in July. So, yeah, no, she's cute out.
Yeah, and the latest one, you arrive at the door and she drags you in to show you Donna, who's her little brother.
Yeah.
And then she goes, are you crying? And you go, no. And she goes, maybe a little bit, mammy.
A big bit, to be honest,
yeah,
but anyway.
Yeah, yeah, very emotional. So, Lieutenant Commander Grace Fanning, see, you're in charge of L.E. Roisin and you're one of three women who are now in charge of ships in the Irish Navy.
Yeah, well, at the moment, I think I'm the only female.
Oh, you're the only female, are you? Right,
yeah,
okay.
But up to recently, I think we've had 5 or 6 over the years.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, females gone before me that are captains of ships.
Right, okay. So tell us about your life then. How it's a 2-year stint, and how has that broke up?
Yeah, so basically broken up between sea and shore-based jobs. So you do 2 years on your ship and 2 years ashore. But your 2 years on the ship is basically broken up into patrols and are between 2 weeks. So you go 2 weeks away, 2 weeks home, or 4 weeks away, 4 weeks home.
Okay.
But that they try and keep that, obviously, as best they can for patrols, for family-friendly policies and all that. But, you know, it's manageable at the moment. We'll see how we get on.
And how long are you in the Navy?
I'm in, coming up to 20 years. I just talked to my wife there. It's 20 years. It's a long time, yeah,
and
this September.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Carlow, a fine seagoing village called Ballin.
So you come from a landlocked county. So what was the desire then, the ambition to be in the Navy? Where did that come from?
Well, Ireland is a... Yes, so we're so small, it's an island, yes, so yeah, we're not far away from the sea. But the Slaney runs through my parents' farm, so maybe that's where it started.
Okay.
I've been seasick on the Slaney a few times, but basically I didn't, until I was sitting in the interview for the Navy, I didn't know there was a Navy, to be honest. I wanted to go to UCD to study agricultural science, but my mum says, oh, there was a girl down the road now that did that, and she's now working at a bank. There's no jobs in that. So she wanted to be a national school teacher. I wanted I think I'm a bit of an action person. I wanted something different. So I went, my mom organized, I was 18, organized the cadetship interviews. I went down and did it. And 20 years later, I haven't looked back.
And is the cadetship for the whole army, or was there a specific Navy one?
No, there's specific Navy ones. So Army, Air Corps and Navy are in the Defence Forces. So there's specific ones, yeah.
Right, okay. And why, have you had that chat with her? Why did she choose the Navy?
Well, I did. I went for the Army and the Navy.
Oh, yeah, you're right, okay.
Yeah, no, and I got both. And I've 6 brothers and a sister, and I come from Carlow. So I wanted something different. And when I was down in the Navy, they listened to me. They seemed like they were so interested in what, you know, in me, and they wanted me to be part of their team. And I said, sure, any time in 2 years, if it didn't suit me or if I was seasick or missed home, I could leave. But yeah. 20 years later, I'm still here.
So you obviously took to it like excuse the pun, a duck to water.
Well, maybe my bosses wouldn't say that, but...
Yeah. So, just because I'm familiar with the hierarchy in the Army, but not so much with the Navy. So you're a lieutenant commander. So
yes.
Where is that now? What's the equivalent in the Army?
It'll be a commandant Army.
Yes. So yeah. One step above a captain.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So it's captain of a ship, but the rank is lieutenant commander.
Aha. Right. And where do you go from here if you're going anywhere?
The next rank would be commander.
Yeah.
So and then. If I wanted, obviously, then it's captain in the Navy, and then commodore, which is the flag officer, which is the head of the Navy, which is the highest rank. And then obviously chief staff, we have Mark Mellett, Rear Admiral Mark Mellett is the chief staff. So.
And has there been a woman chief of staff yet?
No, the highest rank in the Navy actually is Commander Roberta O'Brien. She just got promoted recently.
Right.
So they only started taking females in 1995 into the Navy.
And what's the, what percentage of the Navy are women?
At the moment, it's 6% in the Navy.
Right.
Yeah, so it's small.
And they're
small
they're trying to increase that.
Yes, we're trying to, part of the white paper, I won't say too many buzzwords here, but basically we want not only, like, females are 50% of the population. We need people in defence forces. I think I've done a lot of you know, these road shows where you go around and talk to females.
Yes.
And they're always extremely interested in asking, oh, that seems like such a cool job. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And I tell them, oh, Jesus, I wouldn't be able to do it. And I'm like, no, why? Why couldn't you do it? And I explain to them that, you know, the physical side, they'll be well able. They train them from a base level all the way up. The mental side, everything is trained. You get training in everything.
Yeah.
So you don't need to be anything special to come in. You just want to have a cool job and cool life.
Why do you think women react like that? Men wouldn't.
Yeah, because I suppose it is a male-dominated environment.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you think of the military, you think of alpha males shouting in people's faces, but that's not how it is anymore.
Yeah. What do the Irish Navy do?
Yeah, people always ask me that. They always
Well, it's an obvious question, but
because when I think about it, we're in the Navy. We work on a ship over the horizon, so no one really sees what we do.
Yeah.
So I just the patrol I just came back in from. So day one, we got information. There was a fishing vessel that was using undersized mesh, basically a small net in an area that was restricted. So we had to go down and check and make sure his nets, make him haul his nets and measure them, make sure they were okay. So then we were, so that's fishery protection. Like what the Navy does is the same as the Defence Forces. We protect Ireland's people and Ireland's resources.
Mm.
So at sea, we have like special areas of conservation where there's all these, like it's really interesting, coral down in off the west coast that has to be protected. The fishery stocks have to be protected. There's underwater cables joining Europe to America and the rest of the world.
They
need protected. Obviously, there's so much drug trafficking. Again, there's people trafficking. Like, we can't look the other way. These things are happening. We have to keep Ireland's resources and safe and our sea lines of communication. Again, I don't want to use too many buzzwords, but basically keep Ireland's oceans safe and people open for business.
And how long are you out, typically?
So this is my second patrol. So it's not what my few patrols here now is 2 weeks away, 2 weeks home, 2 weeks away, two weeks home.
It's a long time to be away from the kids, isn't it?
It is.
So Fia is 2.5, is it?
2.5, yeah.
And Donna is?
8 months.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty hard. But I'll try not to get upset. But it is hard. But a lot of people do it. But it's as hard as for me. My poor wife is at home. She is here by herself, 3 o'clock in the morning, if they wake up with a snotty nose, or she can't. Well, she can ring me, but I mightn't have coverage. I mightn't have coverage, or I might be asleep. But it's ridiculously hard for her, and she's opened my eyes to how partners, stay home moms and dads, how they manage by themselves. It's hard.
Yeah, because 2.5 and 8 months, there that's a handful there, isn't it? When you're on your own.
Yeah, armful.
So would you encourage little Fia to go into the Navy?
Yeah, if Fia wants to be an astronaut, or if she wants to be a whatever she wants to be, I'll help her become that. Yeah. Definitely, yeah. It's a career for anyone. It's a career for, if you want an interesting career. Again, it has its downsides, don't get me wrong. Obviously, I'm talking here about being away and finding it fairly hard, but it's the pros are outweigh the cons every day. I wouldn't be doing it, Ray, if I didn't.
Yeah, no. We've met before, I believe, in Phoenix.
Yeah, we did.
That's a good while ago now, isn't it? It could be 12 or 13 years ago.
I was trying to think. I think it was 2009, maybe.
Yeah, 12 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, the Rose of Tralee.
It was part of the tradition of the Rose of Tralee that the roses went out to one of the ships that was moored. Is that the word, moored?
We were alongside in Phoenix.
In Phoenix. And you always treated us very, very well. We got on, and there was cocktail sausages and triangular cut sandwiches and all that sort of thing. It was all very pleasant. And we got our picture taken up at the front.
Up at the forecastle,
either side of a big gun, was it?
I think that day was Roisin. It was actually Roisin. I was navigation officer out in Roisin.
Right.
And now I'm captain. But out in front of the gun, it was a 76mm Automalera. It's a big piece of kit.
What about the claustrophobia of being out at sea for 2 weeks with the same people in a confined space?
Yeah, well, the lockdown wasn't too hard for people in the Navy.
That's fair enough. We're used to
that sort of thing. But it's if you don't get on with people, it's a very bad job. But if it's a family, like Ray, we go out, and you know, my crew are unbelievable. We mesh so well together. And you know, if there is someone who's not working hard or not team player, they get found out pretty quick.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, no, it's you're a little family and a little tight knit group. It's and they are amazing people out there. I know people are saying, you know, the millennials, they're whatever, they're the snowflakes. The young lads out there are hardworking, and they have great integrity. And I go to sea with them in the morning, and I will be going to sea with them in the morning.
How many's on the LA Roisin now? How many?
At the moment, we have 42 people.
And how many of those would be women?
At the moment, I have 3 females on board, myself, my medic, and one of the supplies.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. What did today mean to you? The opening up, did it mean anything?
I wouldn't be a Now Pennies fan, but my wife, I'd say, if I came home actually after being away for 2 weeks, and I was going to bring out the bins because the recycling bin was full, and I said to her, "Why is recycling full?" She'd be buying online Amazon.
Yes. Yeah.
as soon as I leave the house, I think your man drives up.
He waits around the corner.
She's gone. She rings me.
Yeah, Grace has gone to sea for 2 weeks. Come on.
I wouldn't. It doesn't affect me too much. In fairness, Carol does most of the shopping. All that. I wouldn't like that too much.
Yeah, and Carol's an A&E nurse.
Oh no, she's just a nurse.
She's a nurse. She's a nurse. Sorry, that's my fault.
Yeah, she's a nurse in Cork University Hospital.
Right. And has she taken extended paternity leave?
Yeah, she's taken. So basically, I give birth to Fia and she gave birth to Donna.
Right.
So she is now currently on the 4 months unpaid. So we sat down, obviously, and discussed how we're going to manage me going back to sea. And she said she'll take the unpaid, which obviously is pausing her career and obviously halving our wages into the house. But she is doing that, and she's going back to sea. She's going back to work in July. In fairness, because obviously I'm going to be gone, she's going to have to work reduced hours. She can't work 12-hour shifts. So the people at CUH have been really nice and kind and helpful. Right. So she's going to work shorter hours. But
great.
Yeah, I'm going to have to work it around.
Final question. How do Fia and Donna get on? How did Fia, you know?
Yeah, no, initially she wasn't too enamoured. But she wasn't, like, she'd never... But now, actually, I've noticed since I've came home that if I'm giving him attention, she's quick to, you know, try and push him away and jump up on my lap. And I sit on your lap, mammy, I sit on your lap. She doesn't like me giving too much attention to him. But in fairness, they're both amazing, good little personalities. And he's he's so, like, I don't know, is it a man thing or what? And he's, you know, he's really happy and nothing really phases him.
No, and do you know what you find? Which the big shock to me was that little boys are so affectionate. They're so affectionate. Yeah. They love the hugs, they love the cuddles. Like, Tom is nearly nine now. He still loves the hugs and the cuddles.
Aww.
And all that. So it's beautiful. Okay, listen, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us. Keep posting those videos to cheer us up. Lieutenant Commander Grace Fanning, what do you say when you can release somebody? You're free to go or whatever, no?
Carry on, I suppose.
Carry on, okay. Great talking to you, Grace. See you now. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the only man in pennies. That sounds like a 1990s song. Conor Pope.
How are you, Ray? I was the only man in pennies this morning, and I'm very proud of that fact.
So you were there in an observational role, were you?
Yes and no. Okay. I'm not going to lie to you. I was sent in with an order to get some stuff for my family. But I was primarily there in an observational role because obviously I was writing a piece for the Irish Times about the great reopening of Ireland again. So I went to Penny's and I got an appointment made and I was in there for, I think it was 9 o'clock this morning. Right. So I was in with the 9 to 10 crowd. And you know what? It was great because I've written a lot of grim stories over the last 14 months. We've talked about a lot of sad events on your show. You've talked about a lot of sad events with other people. And it's nice to be able to write something sometimes that's just really optimistic and upbeat. And the people in there they were all lovely, the staff, the shoppers, everyone was in great form and everyone was really pleased to be back shopping. And I know sometimes people say, sure, it's just shopping. But actually one of the things that really came home to me this morning was that it's a lot more than that. This is a symbol and a sign that things are getting better. Yeah. And people do have an emotional connection with shopping. It's not just about the acquisition of stuff. It's not just about buying knickers or socks or t-shirts or whatever it might be. There's something else in there, something deeper. And that was what was clearly evident today when I was talking to those people, because you know they could buy the stuff anywhere. You could go on Zara, you could go on H&M, you can go on lots of different places and you can buy the same stuff. But it was more about being out and about, being in a place surrounded by other people and actually watching the country reopen again. And you know what? That's lovely.
Yeah. And did you get odd looks? You being the only man in pennies. Sorry, you'll always be the only man in pennies to me now. I was the only man in pennies.
You know what? People were so focused on their shopping that, and I've had this experience in pennies before, and I've in fact written about it in the Irish Times. Sometimes when you go in there on a Saturday afternoon, I go in there a lot with my kids and my wife, and I'm totally invisible. People just walk right through you because they want to get to the next rack of clothes. And it was like that today because it was a bit like supermarket sweep, you know, because the way it worked, it was very cleverly done. Everybody had an hour, so you had 45 minutes to do your shopping and you had 15 minutes then to collect all your stuff and go to the till and pay. Yes, and there was this public address going every 15 minutes going, ladies and gentlemen, as opposed to gentlemen, you have 15 minutes left to complete your shopping. So, you know, people were under a gentle kind of pressure.
Right.
But, you know, I was actually fearful that I'd get in the way and I'd say, hi, Conor Pope from the Irish Times. Can I have a quick word? And the people would be really rude. But no, everyone was lovely.
Great.
And it was all good.
Okay. Now, pricewatch@rte.ie. Dear Conor, I'm not a happy camper. I was looking forward to a facial in a local beauty salon, but I've just discovered they have gone out of business. Do I have any comeback on my gift vouchers? A new beauty business is opening in same location, but it's a different owner. Please help.
I suspect we're going to hear a lot of these types of stories over the next 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, because whilst the country is reopening and while beauty parlours and hair salons and barbers are all opening today for the first time since before Christmas, and that's a great news story, there's an awful lot of people who just won't have made it. There's an awful lot of companies, an awful lot of small businesses that just won't have had the capacity to stay afloat over the last 4 or 5 months. They will have gone out of business. And there will be people, not many people, but there will be people who have vouchers for these businesses and they might have got them for Christmas. And, you know, we've talked about vouchers in the past endlessly, Ray. And one of the things I always say to you is, like, when you get vouchers, use them. Because, you know, that way you're protecting yourself against anything going wrong.
But in this scenario, they
couldn't use them. They had absolutely zero chance, because you got to remember, so let's say if somebody got a voucher for €100 for a facial or whatever it might be in a beauty salon, and they got it on Christmas Day, everything was closed almost immediately after that. So certainly before the start of the new year, everything was closed. So a person had absolutely no chance to use them. Now, that's not pointing the finger of blame at the beauty salon owner. I'm sure the last thing they wanted was to go out of business. And I'm sure that, like any business, that they would have fought tooth and nail to stay afloat. So nobody's the bad guy in this piece. In terms of what somebody can do, there's no real point in going to the new owner of a new salon just because it's on the same premises. That means the person doesn't have any moral responsibility or legal responsibility to honour the voucher, because it's a business that they have no link to. Now, having said that, one avenue you could go down is you could go into the salon and say, listen, I've got a €100 voucher here. Is there any chance you could give me something by way of a discount? And that way, you know, the customer would be happy. The new business would have a new customer who would be singing their praises. That might be an option. And then the other thing, and I know that your heart is sinking, I can almost see your heart visibly sinking when I'm about to say, because it is a tiresome answer, but it probably is the only answer. And in this question, it's actually more complicated than normal. No. The chargeback, when you go to your bank or your credit card company and you say, I paid for a service, the company did not deliver that service, I want my money back.
But you have to go to the person. But you have to go to the person who bought you the voucher.
This is where it gets more convoluted. Yeah. Because if I bought, you know, a hotel, if I paid for a hotel accommodation, or if I bought the voucher
myself,
on
your card,
I could say, "Here's the proof. Yeah. Here's what I paid for." But what this person needs to do, and it's basically the only avenue down which they can travel, they need to go to the person who got them the voucher, say, terribly sorry, the company's gone out of business. You're going to have to start a chargeback process. And it's actually not that complicated. Basically, every single bank and credit card company in the country operates the same system. They all agree that if you pay for a service and it doesn't get delivered to you through no fault of your own, you can instigate a chargeback. That will see you contact the bank. Then the bank contacts the beauty salon, in this case's bank. The beauty salon's bank confirms that they've gone out of business, and over a period of 3 or 4 months, the refund will slowly but inevitably make its way back to the person who gave them the card's account. And the bank is the one that takes the hit for it, because the whole financial system has been set up to ensure that there is a degree of confidence in electronic transactions. And one of the things that the banks do, and they agree between themselves, they agree to honour payments in circumstances like this, or refund payments in circumstances like this. So the money isn't necessarily lost, but it is a convoluted process, and you start off first by contacting your bank or the bank
you start off by contacting the person who gave you the voucher. And
now, maybe it was given to you by your partner, your husband, your wife, in which case that's quite simple.
It's salvageable.
The money can be returned to the person.
That's good news. I'm feeling very positive today, so it's good news. Yeah, my heart didn't
sink
at all.
We're all feeling positive, Ray. It was good.
Right. Did you buy any boxers?
Do you know what? I bought loads of stuff, and I bought my wife a lot of socks.
Right.
Because over the last 4 or 5 months, the socks have just disappeared. And as part of a lockdown project in the Pope House, we've been watching all the Marvel movies from start to finish. Okay. And we watched the last of the Marvel movies yesterday. So I noticed that they had a whole raft of Marvel stuff. By the way, irritatingly, I thought, in the boys section. So they had Marvel t-shirts and stuff in the boys section, which I bought for my daughters because they're mad into the Marvel stuff. And then I bought loads of clothes for my baby, my little baby girl.
Right,
because, and not because I, you know, just because I was there. It'd be shame not to.
Nothing for yourself. You're so selfless. Connor, thanks very much. PriceWatch at RG.ie. If you want Connor to grapple with any of your consumer issues, and we might get to it next week or the week after. And Ish Tosh now in the Free Skelton in Oak to the Kieran Afarda. Kieran Gormagad, thank you very much. 51551 or Ray at RG.ie. We had Grace on, and Colette's been on to say, tell Grace all in Tullow Community School are so proud of her. I'm sure she's still listening. And on Frank Nelson from Navan. What an amazing man Frank is. I'm out cycling and just listening to Frank has put a big smile on my face. Continued good health, says Frank. !! says Cindy. And Matt Munro, eat your heart out. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Frank Nelson. And Frank Nelson from Navan is a true gentleman. He has travelled on the Meath pilgrimage to Lourdes with the Navan choir for over 60 years. He's 85, is Frank. We'll definitely have to get him down to studio and have a chat with him. Now it's time for our quiz of today. Today, 10th of May, and we've 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years, decades, centuries. And a prize, yes, all this week. Our prize comes from the Castleknock Hotel. A two-night break with dinner and one evening at the award-winning Dublin Hotel. They have their Missed Moments packages, which include balloons, bubbles and cake. And it's a chance for you to make amends for things that were missed last year, like dates or anniversaries or birthdays. You can find out more at castleknockhotel.com. castleknockhotel.com. Hello, Claire.
Hello, Ray.
Originally from Cork, now in Monaghan.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Oh, my God. We stuck a pin in the map.
It didn't really happen that randomly, did it now?
No, no. My mom is from Monaghan and I used to spend my summer holidays up in Monaghan. So when myself and my husband were moving out of Dublin, we decided to move to Monaghan.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And do you do a commute or have you completely moved up to Monaghan?
Completely. I teach in a primary school up right. near Carrickmacross.
Right.
So when I heard the question about what county is Carrickmacross in today, yes. I said it's a sign.
It's a sign.
Yes.
I've never heard of Listoonan.
Yes, it's just a few miles outside Carrickmacross and we have 145 pupils and I have fourth and half of fifth class. So hello all the boys and girls in my class right. and in the school.
Can I ask you a question, Claire?
Yes.
Was it a big decision for you and your husband to make to move from Dublin up to Monaghan?
It was, yeah. It was a big deal. Like, in fact, sometimes you do ask yourself, was it the right one or not? But yeah. Sure, we're here now.
The reason I asked that question, because Jenny brought my attention to a tweet. An English woman tweeted today about changing her life completely. And it's about, because people did a lot of thinking during lockdown. And I'd imagine yeah. she's not the only one who's thinking this. She's thinking of selling up somewhere, you know, in a city, could be Liverpool or Manchester or London, and moving up to the Lake District.
Yeah.
Having her salary, but obviously, you know, she'll make on the selling of the house in the city and the buying of the house cheaper in the Lake District. And just a simpler form of life.
Yeah.
And she was just asking, is this a pipe dream or is it possible? And thousands of people have, you know, given her advice. What would you... Because I'm thinking of moving down to Waterford. I see Waterford are trying to encourage people to move down. They're calling it the Zoom town. I haven't discussed this now with the management in RTE. No, I've discussed it with Jenny, okay? Not with RTE.
No, it's lovely up here. We're in the countryside. We live in a lovely house on a lovely, quiet road. And yeah. I have four kids and they can run about here and they're safe. And personally, I wouldn't want to be living in the city. Do you know, like, it's just nice and it's a bit of freedom.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that people like yourself, lockdown didn't affect them as much because of the fields and all that.
Exactly.
There weren't as many restrictions.
Yeah, like we have space to do a certain amount, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's all good.
How did today affect you? Any appointments or anything? No.
No, I was working.
No, so no pennies, no hairdressers.
No, we talked about pennies in the class, but we didn't just get to go yet.
So it's a real cultural phenomenon, isn't it, that you're talking about?
It is.
Yeah. What were they saying about pennies in class?
Oh, should they? All the girls would love to be in pennies today. They'd love to be loading up the shopping bags, definitely. Yeah, but we said we'll wait now till the weekend. We have to be in school.
Yes, of course. Now, you're up against Mick O'Rourke from Kildare with his new haircut. How are you doing, Mick?
The haircut. Okay, all right. How are you?
Very good. So tell us about the haircut. Go on.
What's to be a secret? If the wife is listening, she was cutting it during lockdown, right?
Right.
But, and it's grand. No. She's very good. Like, it's great. But there's nothing like the real deal. You know, walking in and the guy does it. And, yeah.
Yeah. He sits down, of course. You sit down in the chair and he says, what will we do with you today?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you just tell him, and he said, okay, grand. And he wraps things around you, and he walks away, and you're looking in the mirror, and he offers you the mirror for the back. No, I don't do that anymore because there's nothing there. But you have a chat, you have a bit of a banter, and he does what you tell him, more or less, right?
Right, okay.
And then it's different.
Be careful now, Mick. I'm protecting you from yourself.
it's different at home, right? You sit down, and Jackie had said, you know, okay, grand. And said, zoom. And I said, no, a little bit there. Do you see there? I think it's kind of that way. So the barber does what you tell him. You just do what
Yeah.
Peace in our time, right?
So Jackie doesn't know that you've got your hair cut?
No. Oh, yeah.
So the... Oh, Jesus. Oh, right. Okay, sorry.
The radio's always on at home. Okay. Well, she knows now.
And it's a small world. Even if she doesn't hear it herself, somebody she knows will have heard it. And they,
of course, they're
already texting her to say, Mick got his haircut. And he's, he's slagging you off on the radio about your haircutting skills.
Okay, so when I go in the door, I'm going to surprise, and next thing there'll be a big mark
well,
of a
well, listen, listen, you can make something. Amends by saying something really nice about Jackie on the radio.
Okay, grand. That's the worst of that. I know, she's grand. She did a great job up to this, right? But we're back to professionals.
Okay, okay.
And when she goes into her little hairdresser and has her little pampering session and all that crap, I know it's going to work out great for her. Yeah.
Right, okay, okay.
Not that she needs it.
Yeah. I'm sorry for putting you on the spot, Mick, because it's difficult. Us Irish men are difficult. We're not good around emotions and expression of feelings and that sort of thing. So
no, we're not. But like us, we just into the barber, haircut, buy 10 quid, walk out the door.
Yeah.
Women go for a day out.
Yeah.
For a session, for a chat, for a cup of coffee, to unload.
Well, it takes them hours. Claire will tell you that, doesn't it? It takes hours to get the hair done, Claire.
Hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it costs, you won't get out of there without 100 quid.
There you go.
Yeah. Savage.
Yeah, it's a difficult job, you see, to get it right. Okay, Claire versus Mick. Five questions each. Whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If it's a draw at the end of the five questions, we go to a tiebreak situation. Good luck, Claire. Good luck, Mick. Here we go.
Thank you. Best of
luck. Good luck, Claire.
Right, here we go. Claire, first question for you. On this day in 1957, the first meeting of the Parliament of Cameroon took place. On what continent would you find Cameroon?
Asia.
No, it's Africa.
Ah,
it's Africa,
it.
Yeah. Okay, Mick, on this day in 1959, Soviet forces arrived in Afghanistan. On what continent would you find Afghanistan?
Asia.
Yeah, there you go. That's the way they fall. Okay, Claire, have a listen to this. It's still early days. Here's your second question. Now, on this day in 1940, actor Taurine Black, who played Neil Washington in that US police TV drama series, was born in New Jersey. Can you name the TV series? It was an American police TV drama series.
Oh, I don't have a clue.
No. Do you mind me what ask him what age you are?
43.
Yeah, you're too young. You're too young.
I don't have a clue.
What age you, Mick?
The Hill Street Blues.
Yeah, you're showing your age. You don't get any extra points for that, Mick. Sorry about that.
I don't, okay.
Right, okay, it was Hill Street Blues, Claire. Mick,
okay.
Yours and audio's one as well. Have a listen to this.
Sit down there and we'll have a bit of an old song. What can we sing? Will you sing one, Ted?
No, I won't.
Yeah, you will. You have a lovely voice. Very like Celine Dion.
Okay, on this day in 2015, at the 61st British Academy Television Award, that Irish chat show host won the award for Best Entertainment Programme. Can you name him?
Graham Norton.
Yeah, that's him as Father Noel Furlong and Father Ted. Okay, Claire, we need you on the scoreboard to be in with a chance.
Okay,
good luck with this one. Here we go. On this day in 1932, Albert Lebrun became President of France. Which of these countries shares a border with France? Belgium or the Netherlands?
Belgium.
Say again?
Belgium.
Yeah, I got the jump at the end there. Belgium is the correct answer. You're on the scoreboard. Good stuff. Mick, on this day in 2006, Giorgio Napolitano was elected president of Italy. Which of these countries shares a border with Italy? Serbia or Slovenia?
Serbia.
No, it's Slovenia.
Okay.
Slovenia, okay. So two plays, one, Claire.
Yeah.
It's looking up, I think. Your music question is this. Have a listen. On this day in 2019, that singer announced the launch of her new fashion label, Fenty. Can you name her?
Fashion label Fenty.
F-E-N-T-Y.
Can you play it again?
No, I tell you I will, just for the laugh. Yeah, here we go. Now,
I've my daughter here with me. I don't have a clue. Who's that singer?
Who? No.
Can't think.
No. It's Rihanna. That was her first
Rihanna.
Hit.
Rihanna, oh, that's so bad.
Yeah, SOS, yeah. Now, I'm just looking at it here. If
it's looking bad.
Yeah, it is. If Mick gets this correct, you can't catch him. That's the way it's going. That's the way it's looking. Okay, Mick, good luck with this.
Yes.
It's an audio one. Have a listen. God save the Queen.
The fascist regime. It made you a monster. The Ray Darcy Show.
Okay, so on this day in 1957, Sid Vicious, bass player with that group, was born in London. Can you name the group?
It's Sex Pistols.
Is the correct answer.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Claire. Sorry about that. We'll send you out a Ray Darcy Show mug.
Oh, that's amazing. Well done, Mick.
And I bet you
Thanks, Claire. I bet you knew
Graham Norton as well. That's the thing. It's just
it's just the way
they fall on the day. Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Mind yourself.
Nice, really enjoyed our chat.
Yeah, good talking to you. Thanks, Claire.
Thanks.
See you now.
Bye.
Mick, you're on your way to Castleknock. Yay!
Grand. Yeah. Thanks for that.
Castleknockhotel.com when things are straightened out. And you can enjoy a Mr. Moments package. You can find out more at castleknockhotel.com.
Well, we'd all get started. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with Jackie and all that. Okay, see you, Mick.
Bye.
I think this will work. Let's try it.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We didn't get to it, but there's a question about Bono at the end there. Bono was born on this day in Dublin. In what year was he born? 1960, 1963 or 1968? The correct answer is 1960, which makes him 61 today. Happy birthday, Bono. Even better than the real thing, celebration or sweetest thing? What do you think? Even better than the third one, sweetest thing, he says, sweetest thing, which is a birthday song. Didn't he write it for his wife, Ali? Yeah, he did. Thing you too, and they featured on Reeling in the Years last night. They released Songs of Innocence in 2014 and they gave it to people free through iTunes, and then people said, no, we don't want your album. And then Bono said, oops, sorry for giving you something for free. That was 2014, Reeling in the Years. I enjoyed Reeling in the Years last night. Now my next guests are known for their positivity, their early morning swimming, their energy. Stephen and David Flynn, happy pair. Hello, lads.
Hey, Ray.
How's it going?
That's going great.
This is going to be difficult now because I can't see the two of you. I don't know who's wearing the red check shirt and who's not wearing the red check shirt. So I don't know which Stephen, I don't know which Dave.
That was always my shirt. Hello, Ray.
We're both wearing yellow T-shirts today, so easy today, Ray.
How have you been, lads? How have you been, Stephen?
That's all great. Yeah, here at home right now. All well. You know, ups and downs, I think, like everyone. But, you know, lots to be grateful for, thank God. You know, we're swimming the sea today. Brought the kids to school, all is well. And sure, here we are.
Yeah. And Dave, what about the cafe out in Greystones? That was closed, like all cafes. Were you doing takeaway?
Yeah, we're doing takeaway. No, it's been great. It's been nice. We've got to work on kind of go deeper into things and not be as broad or as spread thin. So no, we've made the best of it, definitely. And the bakery's flying. We opened an organic sourdough bakery last year. So that's been great fun.
Now, are ye responsible for the influx of dry robes into Greystones? And what do you say in your defence? What do you say in your defence?
It wasn't us. It wasn't us. No. Yeah, no, geez, there's a lot of them. They've become part of the fabric of the town to some degree.
Yeah. How many are we talking now? How many dry robes would you see around Greystones of a morning or a day?
Jeez,
are there hundreds?
You can see. Yeah, I'd say that definitely is. Yeah. And people go swimming and then sit outside the cafes wearing them and whatever. So it's kind of become an acceptable, you know, thing to wear, even though lots of people, half the people that see them will go, what are people doing wearing them? They're awful things. So I don't know. They're interesting.
They're very practical things, though. I know you're, you know, too in touch with nature to wear one of those, and you're real men, so you don't need any to sort of thing when you get out of the seat. But for the rest of us, to avoid chattering, something like that is worthwhile and works.
Yeah, they're great. We've been wearing them for years. They sent us ones years ago. And they're great. Yeah, they're very practical robes. You know, they are. It's like a sleeping bag come a waterproof jacket. And certainly in winter, they're really important. They're good for you, you know.
Yeah, and I think if you want to join the swimming cult, they're a necessity at this stage, right?
Right, okay. I'll have to get myself one. Now, I'm looking at some vegan bars here. How do you do that? How do you make a delicious, healthy bar without putting some nice butter and some nice milk into it?
Oh, good man, right? Yeah, no, we just released these in Super Value, super excited. So it's a millionaire one. So we tried to, you know, we all love like refined foods. It's just natural. We all crave them. So we tried to use nuts and dates in space because nuts are, although they're high in fat and high in calories, they're also high in fiber. And fiber fills you up and will slow down the release of that and give you a more even distribution of energy. So that's we do our best, but you know, they're also to be a treat too. So it's to find that kind of middle ground where they're kind of healthier, but they still taste great.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's three of them. There's a coconut one, there's a caramel one, and then there's a brownie, and they're in Super Value and Centre, so we're really delighted with them.
You were saying there that you feel that you'd spread yourself too thinly. So since we last spoke, You've shut down Clondalkin, and have you shut down the airport as well?
Yeah, the airport, unfortunately, it's a horrible thing to have to do. You kind of feel a bit like of a failure. But at the same time, in a way, once you kind of get through the pity and the failure of having to do it, it also allows you to focus more on what you love doing and kind of, you know, it kind of comes back to doing things a little more simpler and doing them better rather than trying to do things bigger. So in a way, it's kind of allowed us to kind of slow down, do things better and really focus on, you know, doing why we really started the business. So okay, it's great. We're really happy with it in lots of ways.
What lessons have you learned?
Often, the kind of sense of less is more. You know, the way it, and often if you can slow down and appreciate what you have, it can be one of the greatest medicines we can all have.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard to put into practice because we've had so many years of just going full tilt that it really is hard to slow down. Like it is like where we struggle and catch ourselves and go, listen, we've just got this habit of busyness and we just need to really be proactive in trying, you know, being conscious and slow down.
So you need to be proactive as in busy about slowing down in a way.
Kind of, like it sounds weird, but that's like I don't know how to describe it.
No, but it's interesting. I'm interested in talking to you about this because I remember reading Anthony Bourdain's first book, Kitchen Confidential. And one of the things that I took away from it, now I've never opened a restaurant in my life or run one or whatever, was that he found around New York at the time that what happened was somebody had this brilliant restaurant and it got rave reviews and everybody was flocking to it, right? Cut to Greystones and everyone flocked to that. And then they thought, okay, let's do another one, another one, another one. And the reason they didn't work was because the essence of the restaurant was lost because the person who made it what it was wasn't in the other restaurants. And that was
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we found that true to ourselves. You can't have, you know, 25 holy mountains or even 4 holy mountains. I think, you know, to make them holy, you need to have the essence, have the integrity, have that kind of sense of love and that attention to detail. So in a way, we're back with just where we started. And it's really nice to put our time and energy into it and really kind of build a great team around us.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, we've kind of focused on how we can grow in other ways. And I guess we've partnered with Super Value and we've just launched new refill stations in Super Value Blackrock and Super Value Colester, which are all about trying to make it more sustainable where people use less plastic. And it's the first in the country in a Super Value. And they're really, really fantastic and we're delighted with them.
So is it sort of your granola type thing? So you could just... Is that what the refill station
granola,
is for?
Granola, nuts, dried fruits, okay. Rice, kind of dried essentials. And people can come along and just fill a bag out of them instead of having to take a plastic pack of them. Yeah. So they're, or you can refill, bring in your own tubs or your own glass jars or whatever. So it's designed to be a refill station and it's kind of the first of its kind. So we're really hoping it works well, you know.
Well, I know there's a famous Super Value down in Clonakilty and they were the first supermarket in Ireland with a nut station. So they've had a nut station for quite some time.
And they've an amazing spice section. I remember down there doing a talk.
Yes.
And I remember meeting the owner and his son, who was a doctor delivering babies, came back to help his dad to kind of get back and get the store going. So amazing family.
Yeah.
Scally's.
And they were the first as well to have evenings in the shop, which were specifically suited to people who have autism. Because, you know, a supermarket environment can be, you know, loud music, bright lights, and they dim the lights and no music and all that sort of thing.
Very cool.
Cutting edge supermarket down there, down in Clonakilty.
Very progressive.
And how's life for you, Ray? Clonakilty is a great food capital as well.
It is. It's great. I'm looking forward to getting in to see. I haven't gotten in to see this year yet, so maybe this weekend might be the weekend.
It's 10 degrees now. It's a lot less bracing.
Yeah. Don't be a wimp, Ray. Get into the sea. That's what you're saying, really, isn't it? Yeah. I will.
We're just saying you can do it, right.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, listen, great to talk to you again. I'm looking forward to when you can come into studio and I can see you doing handstands and see your plaid shorts and your yellow T-shirts. But for the moment, Stephen and David Flynn, happy pair. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
good luck
Ray,
with everything. See
fabulous.
You. Bye,
thanks,
bye,
cheers,
bye,
Ray.
Bye, 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 bye.
Cheers.
Bye. Okay, back down to Sinead Quillen. How are you doing, Sinead?
All right, Ray.
How are you doing? So you're in...
Dennis, it's flat out here now. Like.
Right, okay. So where are you at now? You're in Harper's Hair Design Salon in Borbwy Road in Mayfield in Cork. Right, okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Yeah. So she's putting on the colour at the moment. So it's going to be cooking there now for a while. So it'll be cooking like a fried egg, right?
Because there is that smell, isn't it? It does smell sometimes like you are cooking.
Yeah, actually, Dennis said that. A woman said to her earlier that, like, I never thought I'd say it, but I miss this smell of bleach.
So does that mean the cutting's finished with that because the colour's in?
So the cooking will be going on now for about half an hour.
Right, okay, right.
And then I'll wash it off and then it'll be getting cut. And I'm so tall, actually, I have to be standing when Dennis cut my hair. You can't do it. If I was sitting down, she'd be on the floor, like... So I have to be standing when she's cutting my hair.
I'm trying to get a picture here, a mental picture here, but I can't get it. Anyway, will you send us a picture when you're finished?
We'll do. We'll take a photo, Dan. Perfect.
Brilliant. Okay, see ya. That's Sinead Quillen there. Bye. Getting her hair cut. And like many people around the country, that's a big event today. That and fulfilling their appointment in Pennies. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.